And we're back, covering episodes 3 and 4 of The Defenders. Finally, they're together. Here we go. And that's the opening.
So good. Pretty colors.
Yeah, Jessica Jones colors. No, it was Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's rock and roll. Hey, guys. You are watching the after show for The Defenders, episodes 3 and 4 on Black Hollywood Live. I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I got my panelists with me. We've dropped one, picked up another.
Hey, it's Joelle Monique, guys. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
I'm April Dawn. You can find me on Twitter and YouTube at April13Dawn.
All right, guys. So before we get into episodes 3 and 4, Joelle, you were supposed to be here for episodes 1 and 2.
I was.
And so I wanted to see kind of what your take was on 1 and 2 of the Defenders.
A little bit of a slow start. But
so you're talking about Danny Bland, Danny Rand,
what?
Right?
Yes. Yeah, in the tunnels, being an angry monk, which still doesn't compute for me. Poor Colleen taking all of his emotional baggage onto her own shoulders and trying to calm him down. But once we get past that and we get into Alexandra, I was fascinated. I was like, who is this woman who can talk to Madame Gao like this? We've never seen Madame Gao cower in any kind of way. And she was like, yeah, sure, no, I'll fix that. I was like, what? So I thought she was really cool. And then, of course, getting to see the Defenders finally interact with one another, particularly Luke Cage and, surprisingly enough, Danny. Their kind of bromance is a lot of fun to watch, I think, in the way to make a character who has been as unlikable as Danny likable is put him with, like, arguably the most cuddly character, which is Luke, and try to get him to, like, soften up, and I really like that dynamic.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, since you're talking Alexandra, let's talk about this, because I actually didn't think that they were going to do this in this series, but I thought it was awesome that if they did do in episodes 1 and 2, how they reverse back into a kind of a flashback of what Elektra actually went through.
Yeah.
As opposed to just kind of this blind, like, okay, we'll put you in this, like, sarcophagus, and you're like, the black sky. Instead of they actually show, like, okay, here's kind of the history behind what she goes through, and also, like, more backstory on Alexandra Reed.
Yeah, Bloodbirth, so dope. Massively cool. Black Sky is kind of my favorite character in the show so far. The idea that Elektra, who we knew was complicated and really kind of struggling to find her own place, will come out as Black Sky, having a lot of the same feelings, but being kind of more childlike is very interesting. Or if Elektra's a woman and she kind of knows who she is, but she's trying to find her place, Black Sky has no idea who she is, but she knows what she's supposed to be doing. And so watching those dichotomies kind of play inside of that actress, I thought she did a really good job.
April, did you like the flashback?
I did, and I've always loved Elektra since Daredevil season 2, and she is such a complex character, and I'm excited to see how she progresses in this season, especially with Matt.
Oh, you're right, because she's so far, she recognizes, she's Black Sky, she recognizes maybe, or at least Matt's being hopeful that he thinks that she recognizes that she used to be somebody before.
Yeah, I'm interested if she actually does, or if he's just reading too far into it and see where they go.
I mean, so, like, the good part about Alexandra is that we see, like, you know, we're getting more of an idea of who she is. Right, like, in episodes 1 and 2, it's she's there, and she's the one. It's just like she's kind of like bitch slapping Madame Gao around, and we've never seen that throughout the series.
No.
And now, you know, like, they open up, and there's like this small little hints where she brings up that Constantinople,
which is just perfection. The idea that, first of all, that someone today can be making food better than just miraculous to me, but this look on her face of like, oh no, I know what I said and I meant it. I find Alexandra really interesting, particularly how they portray her in the white and gold, which are usually reserved for
heroes.
It's kind of fascinating to me to see how evil is she. I mean, she seems pretty evil, like, causing minor earthquakes and things, but I'm not convinced yet. I'm still not convinced that, I don't know, the hand is supposed to be bad. I wouldn't be surprised if Defenders went in a different direction.
You know, it's funny because I was watching the flashback, and you see this scene where Elektra kind of comes out of the I guess, pot, sarcophagus, whatever it is, and, you know, you see it all splooge, and she's like, I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, this is interesting that Sigourney Weaver's there to witness this, because it almost reminds me just, like, Alien. You know, one of the scenes of Alien where you see, like, the thing is kind of...
Totally.
Kinda, you know, so I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's kind of appropriate that, you know, they cast Sigourney Weaver in this role. So, yeah, and we find out that, like, she meets... So, the pieces are slowly coming together, like... We're introduced more to White Hat, or if you're watching with subtitles, Suwande.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like saying, it's like, okay, he's kind of like giving us clues of why, because this is what we talked about in episodes 1 and 2 is with when Jess was here, if Alexandra, as we know her, is sick, why can't she just use the same immortality or like comeback power? Like, why doesn't she just die herself and then use it? But here we find out that he's like we're using the last of the resources for the Black Sky. And so that's kind of like, it kind of answers a little bit of that question.
So it's a huge gamble for someone who's been around for a long time and has her hands in literally everything. It's interesting to me that, one, she ran out, and two, she's willing to take a risk on what is essentially an unknown entity to be her saving grace.
Yeah, and then, I mean, so then we go to a scene from where, like, in episodes 1 and 2, what we left off, and like we kind of didn't mention episodes 1 and 2 in the recap, but there's Stick.
Yeah, hell yeah! I was really excited to see Stick show up. I knew he was going to show up from IMDb, and he's clearly in there, but I wasn't quite sure what capacity. I thought maybe they'd have him just like yelling at Matt again, but for him to be like in the throes of the action, kind of leading everybody back into it, he's like, no, collect yourselves. Yeah. We're going after them.
I assume. How about you, ladies? Would you ladies? If you're tied up, if you're tied up like that, would you do it? Would you chop off your own
hand? If I had Stick's training, totally. Because I'm I was live tweeting on the BHL account the first 4 episodes on Friday, and I was talking about how we saw Stick take bamboo of the fingernails and like barely flinch. He was like, "Yes, this is uncomfortable, but I just have to get out of here." And then he pulled them all out without a problem. I don't think a sword. I think a sword to hand is probably a lot better than the bamboo up each finger.
Quicker.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Because the sword is very the sword is very clean cut. And I mean, April, I don't know. Would you?
I wouldn't do it. But I love how he's so nonchalant. He's like, "Oh yeah, I cut it off to escape. No biggie."
You're like, "No, I'm just trying to figure another way.
Yeah.
Figure another way to fight or die or."
Yeah, I'm good. I'll keep my hand.
Yeah, like I need both my hands. So my predictions were completely wrong for episodes 1 and 2. I thought that the gang would get together maybe in episode 4. Mm. I didn't think that they would get together so quickly in episode 3.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I mean, Netflix series have a kind of history of getting these incredibly slow starts. But with 8 episodes, I know they cut it down for a reason. And I think they made a smart choice, especially with how much these guys don't mesh together. As I'm looking forward to exploring the challenges of them getting to know one another and working together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, so we see kind of the pairing. Mm-hmm. We see the world of Matt and Jessica meeting, and then we also see that finally, like the glue of all the shows, Claire, you know, is like, "Oh, hey guys, it's like you here's some people you should meet." And so then, you know, so then you kind of see like this kind of weird, I don't know what your take is on the whole Luke Cage and Danny Rand thing. It almost was like it kind of felt like it turned into like a Black Lives Matter versus white privilege.
Totally. Not even a little bit. Like, it was pretty overt to me when he's just leaning in, like, and I really enjoyed and thoroughly appreciated that conversation. It's one of my main issues with the season of Iron Fist, where he just goes in without kind of thinking about who it is he's affecting or thinking about other ways in which he can use his means. I mean, he has so much money and so much, and no one's after him, really. You know, the hand's kind of looking for him, but they also don't want him dead. Like, you have the most options out of anyone at this table, and for you to be completely whiny about it is very annoying. So when Luke starts going in and is like, "You know, I live with these people specifically," I thought it was great.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, the writing would kind of go in that direction.
Same.
for that conversation. Because we're still in the world of, like, comic books. And the writing's, you know, is great. It's been great on the majority of the shows. But just to kind of talk a little bit like politics, like, right there was interesting.
Well, it's interesting to me how they're blending the different themes from each show. Because Luke Cage is very much a blaxploitation show that's been modernized, and they did a really good job with that balance. I didn't expect it to carry over into the Defenders, and I'm glad that they didn't cut anyone's individual, like, personalities to try to fit. Everyone is still authentically themselves from the shows that they came from, which I think is great.
April, do you have a, like, what do you think about, like, that conversation? I don't know if you were expecting it or if it, like, surprised you, like, that was in there.
I've really noticed that Luke is the only one who's really out for the whole community, where Danny is, like, all about the hand, and then Matt's like, I don't really want to be involved with this because I want to protect the people I love. Jessica wants to solve her case, and Luke is just all about his community and saving others no matter what it costs him, and I really appreciate that about him.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool, too. It's kind of cool to say, like, the kind of the motivations for each person, which all leads them to, which is kind of, I mean, it's interesting how it all led them to Midland Circle.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, and Joelle, you know, you and I have been on the Iron Fist panel for Black Hollywood Live, and, like, that's my only issue, was that the way that, not Finn, but, like, the way that Danny and Colleen kind of show up to his company, and it's like, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the hand. I thought it was a little cheesy. I was just like, man, I was like, why is it, like, on that section of the writing for this show? Is it so hard to kind of make it a little bit, like, the Luke part was great. Like, Luke going to the prison.
Yeah.
And then talking to the mom and finding the paperwork. Jessica, you know, going, disguising her, like, doing her thing. Like, she,
that,
like,
great
she did
smash cut between them as Luke's coming downstairs and Jessica's going up and they're pulling their hoodies in reverse. All of that stuff worked really, really well. And then, yeah, at least it was true to the character that we've known Danny to be
so far.
Just no thinking ahead. No, I'm just gonna go straight up to the hand and be like, "You can't do this anymore." With what, bro? They own everything.
Every time he's like, "I'm the immortal Iron Fist," I cringe so hard, and he keeps saying it.
I think the bigger problem for me was just, like, can you read other people's emotions? Because, like, no one in this room is, like, flinching. Like, there's no, like, oh, God, he knows, or he's here. Like, everyone is calm and kind of laughing at you. Like, take the hint, bow out, leave. If Danny had been the cool surfer dude I know him to be in the comics, I feel like the scene would have played so, because that comes from, like, a really earnest place. You know what I mean? Of, like, I'm going to stop you because I know that that's the thing that needs to happen. But here it just kind of comes off as if he's just stupid.
See, that's what's tough about, and I think that's, you know, what I talked about in the recap for episodes 1 and 2 was I miss a lot of these characters. You know, like, at least Daredevil got 2 seasons. Jessica Jones had 1. Luke, like, was after that. And then Iron Fist. And I guess Iron Fist is so fresh, but kind of just so eh, that, you know, like, when they opened it up to Defenders, I wanted Jessica Jones. I wanted somebody.
Everyone else besides
literally
Danny.
Literally anyone.
Yeah, Danny.
I was like, oh, interesting choice, guys. Okay. I know we were already into filming when the reviews were coming out for Iron Fist, but okay, whatever. You know, here's the thing, though. What I like about it is, if you're, like, Marvel can't do anything about how people feel about the first season of Iron Fist. Like, that's over. What I really appreciate in the Defenders is them being like, okay, let's address that. Like, I don't feel like they try to hide from the fact that Iron Fist wasn't a success. They really lean into it. Everyone gets their shot at Danny. Stop complaining. Nobody wants this. Go stand over there. Sit down. Be quiet. And I think that there's a chance for that character to learn and develop and for it to feel more authentic and realistic. And then I think that the character has some merit. If we can get the, you know, rich white boy who doesn't think outside of his perspective to start thinking about the communities and the people he's affecting and how he can work as a team player, I think that there's value in that.
I mean, at least the one good thing that I did take away from when he went to Rand Enterprises is they already kind of talked about the fact that, oh, Ward's not here.
Yeah.
He's not here. You know, he's somewhere else. So at least it's good, because, like, since they've been introducing everybody else, kind of like Colleen's there, Claire's there, Misty Knight's there. So they've kind of, like, they've done a good job so far in these first 4 episodes. Well, we're still on episode 3, I guess, but technically the first 3 episodes, to kind of say where people are at. If, like, you haven't seen them, they probably won't be here, or they are here, or we've addressed why. Like, even with, like, Luke Cage, the you know, Mariah and whatever else, it's like, no, they've been really, really quiet. So, you know, like, they're going to save that for, like, Luke Cage season 2, hopefully.
But you still get the presence of them, which is nice. They're working on something.
Yeah, so now we finally get into probably one of the best sequences ever, when they're at Midland Circle, the fighting.
Dude, multi-camera hallway fight scene. So I was wondering how they were going to do it. It took me, I was like, okay, all right. I know we're going to have a hallway fight scene. We kind of started with one in the tunnels. It's a kind of hallway-y in that it's in a tunnel. But then to see this and to see them, like, you know, coming down one aisle and then switching to another, I thought it was really clever and creative way. Also to see how they are not a team yet in their fighting styles at all. They're not able to help one another really, you know. I think Luke gets in there and throws a good punch. Iron Fist obviously breaks the sword with his Iron Fist.
And see, what's funny about that scene, that in terms of like the whole season of Iron Fist and everything, I thought that was the best use ever of his hand, was breaking the sword against Elektra.
Absolutely.
Like him coming in and popping in and doing it.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I also thought it was cool to see, like, I really like that they're using Luke's input, like, invulnerable skin to its mass effect for comedy. Just watching him get beat about the head by Iron Fist earlier, and then even in this fight, watching him take a hit and be like, why? Why are you even trying? This is so foolish. I think it lends a nice touch of comedy.
Yeah, and we don't really see Jessica Jones fighting too much in this style on her show.
Yeah.
We had references to, like, to her power, but we didn't really see her getting just like one blown out fight from what I recall.
No, she kind of had some brawls here and there, but most of hers is more of a mental struggle than a physical one.
Yeah, right, against Kilgrave.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
which is kind of cool because they use her as, like, I guess, like a heavy hitter in a video game. Like, she doesn't move too fast, but she's just in the back, like, waiting for herself to be able to take a hit, and then she does it, and then she moves, and she, like, waits for her next punch. So I really like that they're kind of exploring how would Jessica Jones fight in, like, these mass hand-to-hand things, because she's not really a fighter.
So, I mean, we're talking about the fighting, and, you know, okay, we like to have our little quips about Iron Fist, but the fighting for Finn Jones seemed to be better.
Mm-hmm. It's still not, I think, where people expect an Iron Fist portrayal to be, but I do feel it was much stronger than what we got in season one, even though you can kind of tell when it's a stunt double.
Yeah, I mean, at least the directing, like, I mean, because, like, in, what was it, when Danny is meeting Joe Chang, or Louis Tan. You know, he's wearing a black hood,
mm-hmm.
you know, to kind of disguise the fact that he can't maybe do some of those moves, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's like, in that at least in that boardroom, it's very, you know, brightly lit. There's no trying to pretend to be like Luke Cage or try to hide myself from. So, but yeah, it's still stunts.
But it is better. We're getting there, which, again, I can appreciate. As long as we're improving, I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm not leaving the Marvel Universe anytime soon. So as long as I feel like Danny's getting better and learning and looking a little bit better, you know, I'll give Finn Jones a chance to develop into the role.
I mean, April, would you think that maybe if they actually brought out the... Like, have you ever seen the costume for Iron Fist?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if they actually... I mean, the problem is it looks too much like Daredevil's, right?
Yeah.
Or what Daredevil even looks like in this hallway scene, which has got the gray scarf.
So funny.
Clever.
Yeah. I don't know. Would you want to see the costume?
I'm good without it.
Yeah.
They're more street-level fighters. And I like Jessica Jones, how she talks to Luke Cage, and she's like, let me know when they fit you for the outfit. So
right.
Yes.
I feel like they shouldn't. They should stay with what they're wearing.
And I like the gag that Daredevil's the only one with the costume.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that that's... Because Daredevil's kind of, like, just so cool. Like, he's kind of, except for the fact that he's kind of squishy when it comes to people, and that he has this costume. And it gives Jessica Jones really the leeway to kind of be the coolest person in the group sometimes. And
yeah.
I like that dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah. So then I guess we'll kind of move into episode 4, or like where this is kind of the sequence of not a lot of action, but you get a lot of information in episode 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're in the Chinese restaurant, and it's like, you know, and they're all kind of like figuring out who each other is, like everybody's backstory. You know, like, and here for a moment, I actually thought that, Danny Bland wasn't so bland. Like, he was kind of with them getting the camaraderie. He was kind of getting his feel of like a better, a different character. Or like,
we're getting closer to the comic book adaptation.
A little bit, yeah.
Absolutely, surfer dude, kind of the squishy heart of the group, and like, but I'm hungry. It takes a lot of energy to summon my chi, and being a little bit corny like that. I would love more of this, Danny. This was fascinating.
No, and April, too much to you too. It was this more scene where I felt like the same way you just brought up earlier, where it was, you know, like Danny's about just defeating the hand. I need to defeat the hand. Luke is about, I need to help the black kids that are like dying because this is my community. And then Jessica, like, she says it. She says, like, dude, I just want to crack the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then she talks about Matt, and Matt sees it, like, he's kind of here to, I don't know, oversee what's going on.
Matt can't help himself, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Matt just is constantly drawn back. I mean, we see that he can't shut out the world when he hears people crying for help. I don't think Matt wants to be here, but he just cannot help himself. He's got to be the hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then we see Stick show up. And Stick is like where, like, this is probably one of the most crucial pieces of all of the series. Like, I mean, in terms of Daredevil and I think what I liked about Stick showing up, and even Danny says it, is he really explains Iron Fist and maybe why Iron, like the kid himself, Danny Rand, is the way that he is. As I'm hoping that by Stick explaining what's going on and like who he is, why Danny is who he's supposed to be, that maybe we actually will now see the change of Danny Rand into a more fun character, because now he has pieces of information that he didn't have before. And he talks about the whole, like, well, right, there's the hand, and I'm a part of the Chaste, mm-hmm. which is kind of a weird name for her.
It's a little weird.
Jessica makes fun of it, so she was saying what we were thinking.
Yeah, are you guys? Because none of y'all are virgins. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, but it's cool because he says, you know, he's just like, hey, I followed the elders of Kun Lun and the immortal Iron Fist, and he talks about how if they get together, like their whole idea is to cause catastrophe. And I love the fact that they brought up Pompeii,
yes,
and Chernobyl,
yes,
you know, all being a cover up,
and like now they want to bring it to New York,
yeah.
Which, I don't know why, it seems like it's like in any show, they always want to, I mean, unfortunately it happened in real life too, but everybody always wants to cause destruction in New York.
Mm-hmm. It's considered by many to be the greatest city currently active. So I feel like, yeah, especially if we're dealing with cheese and energies and things, it makes sense to me that you'd want to destroy like a mecca or a center of civilization.
But arguably, like, you and I would probably say, like, maybe Chicago is.
Chicago beats every city, so there's really... I feel like that's a very biased and unfair debate for me.
Joel being from Chicago. I'm not really from Chicago. April, I don't know where you're from, but...
Milwaukee, so pretty close.
You know. Okay, oh, okay. So you're aware of the greatness.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
So. I'm wondering, did... oh, goodness. Did Stick turn into Splinter for anyone else managing his four turtles?
Oh, my gosh. So it's really funny. Jay Becker is in the chat, and she actually talked about it. But what's interesting is that we actually talked about this on the Iron Fist thing, where supposedly Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stole from Daredevil. Because the hand, the foot,
mm-hmm.
you know, right, Splinter,
yeah,
Stick.
Yeah.
So, which I think on the show we talked about, it was a reverse. We were thinking that maybe Daredevil stole from, but in real lore, Daredevil came way before.
Right. Because Daredevil's 70s and Turtles is late 80s, early 90s, right?
So, exactly.
Yeah. I was really appreciative of his, like, no bullshit, like, talking down to the teenagers. Like, you guys must train and be focused. Everybody stick together. And they're just like, nope. It's adorable.
Oh, and really quick, so I'm going to give a shout out because Havoc6280 says, he's like, I just get tired of every review online cheating on Iron Fist. It wasn't that bad. Look at season one of The Shield, which I didn't watch, and that was ABC, so, but...
I don't like The Shield either. I'm so sorry.
Well, this is what he says. Havoc says, like, it was garbage, but it got much better, so...
Mm. Okay, all right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and again, like Marvel, Disney, Netflix, all three companies that are not going to let anybody fail a second time. And again, I think they did a lot with Danny's character this go around to get closer to the Danny I know and love. So I have faith that by the time we get to season two of Iron Fist, we're going to have fleshed out a lot of the issues and hopefully we'll have a much stronger character. I'm actually hoping for like either a Heroes for Hire or maybe Danny does like 3 or 4 episodes on a Luke Cage show, because Luke is making him much more applicable or appealing. Yes, appealing to me.
Yeah, so I mean, so the continuation of like Stick giving more information, you know, he was like talking about how the Chi, you know, like Danny keeps trying to explain the Chi, but I don't think Danny has a grasping of it. So now Stick really says like the Chi was designed to heal, except we had these 5 outcasts that wanted to use it for immortality. And that's where he talks about them being banished. They're the 5 fingers. And now we have a better relationship of Alexandra to Madame Gao, who the White Hat Suwande is. We think Bakudo is dead from Iron Fist. Don't we think that Colleen killed him, but maybe... Yeah.
But we don't know for sure.
There's no body, no death.
Well, there's definitely that. He did disappear in the last shot, so we weren't 100% sure. And the show has definitely dropped hints that maybe Bakudo is not done. So we'll have to see.
No, I mean, what's interesting, too, is like in Daredevil Season 2, we see Nobu, mm-hmm. like the main Asian ninja nemesis to Daredevil. He actually gets his head chopped off by Stick. But then they bring in another guy who supposedly was his puppet master. So it's kind of like the Sith Lord type, you know, whatever it is. But Murakami is like the actual fifth guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we either have five fingers of the hand or we've got at least four. And maybe Bakudo shows up in the series like later on, which can maybe go to predictions, but...
Yeah.
But like, so now we've got... Because like, that was the thing that Jess brought up is he was trying to figure out if we have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. And then I guess maybe if you throw a Colleen Wing in, or, you know, Colleen in there, then who's going... And I guess when they got Stick, then who are the enemies? You can't just have the Black Sky take at all... So, I mean, so, like, now we've got at least, like, more of an idea of, like, okay, there's Alexandra there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much...
Are you saying, like, you're trying to assign, like, a villain to a hero?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. It definitely seems like Alexandra is the lead of the hand. I mean, she says as much as in the meeting that she's like, I am the hand. So, mm-hmm. I kind of pictured Alexandra as the main villain for all of them. But when you put it like that...
Like in Civil War. Like, I mean, granted, Civil War is good guys up against good guys. Yeah. But if you had, you know, the good guys versus the bad guys, and mm-hmm. it's usually like one-on-one. So Jess had brought that up.
Well, to me, the interesting thing about that theory is, like, I don't know if Jessica would have... Because usually in that situation, you put the female against the female, but she's not going up against Madame Gao. Mm-hmm. She can maybe... Because Gao will just destroy her. She can maybe go up against Alexandra, but... I mean, now there seems to be some vulnerability with them. And also, Alexandra has proven that she's fast. She's got those lightning hands, so you don't want to mess with that.
We saw her in that flashback that she's, right.
I don't know.
That she has, like, she's just not just, like, a figurehead, but she actually has her own skills.
Alexandra could kick your ass if she needed to. Mm-hmm. She just chooses not to. She's just better than that.
Well, they even say that she chooses not to get her hands dirty.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I mean, obviously they're putting Sawande with Luke, and then after that it all gets messy for me. I don't know.
No, and this is cool too. Like Ghost 8386 says that he actually says that he loves the fact that the founders of the hand are diversity. You got mm-hmm. Asian, you know, you got Black, you got White. Is there any Latino in there?
I don't know.
I guess.
Thanks. Because we have a Japanese, Chinese, Black, White, and then
It's still diverse.
Yeah, no, it's totally diverse. But it's really cool. And I also like how the cultures are kind of not bastardized or even watered down. They kind of just are who they are. I think, I don't know, the characters for this show have been some of the better ones as far as the Netflix Marvel series goes, I think.
Yeah, Jessica's just, her lines are, I mean, they really, really, really know her character in Defenders.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she's... As far as actors go, Kristen Ritter's got the best comedic timing of anyone in the cast. And so it makes sense to me that they just give her all the one-liners. Also, she's still deep in her alcoholism, which I wasn't sure we were going to come back to that, mm-hmm. Jessica. I thought we might come back to a more evolved Jessica, or at least somebody who was like trying to get her practice up, to come back to a woman who's like, nope, don't want any of it, have learned zero. Like, I'm just happy to be alive. Please, no one talk to me. The only thing she kind of has is, oh my gosh, her friend's Patty, right?
Trish.
Her sister,
Trish.
There you go. Yeah. So she kind of got Trish, and she's opening up to Trish, which I think is nice. But I like that she's kind of still our salty cracker in the mix.
Still putting whiskey in her coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Or still, yeah, waking up in bars. And mm-hmm. Also, just even when she goes up to, well, which I'm going to get to in a second, but like when she goes over to Michelle Raymond's house, she's like, are you drunk?
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, but it's nice too that, you know, this isn't vanilla. It's not vanilla in the sense that we're the good guys, so therefore we should go fight the bad guys. It's still more like, no, we're individual people, and if it's not within my agenda, then I don't care. And that's what I thought was cool about Jessica, like, leaving for the time being, leaving the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. I like, because... To me, that'd be too much. Okay. Like, I was kind of following you with dragons and the whole secret organizations and things. Like, I'm out. That's too much. I like that Luke stays, though, even though he's having a hard time believing everything. And I wonder if that's more Claire being by his side and having done the introductions and, like, really sitting them down and being like, look, you have to talk to him. This is all real. Or if it's that he's kind of started to bond with Danny and he just really wants to help this. Danny's just a lost kid, and I feel like Luke kind of feels a little bit responsible now.
No, I, like I said, like I think there was that when everybody's gone and you brushed on it, they're sitting across from each other, and that's where, like, right, if there is a Heroes for Hire, or even in the comics, I guess they broke it up back in the day and they called it Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Before they even called it Heroes for Hire. Mm-hmm. I guess, or maybe it was Power Man and Iron Fist, Heroes for Hire underneath, but that's where you can, like, there's hope. There's hope that, like, that banter between the two of them, like, they're getting their bond on, and that camaraderie and the the dialogue seems to be working.
Yes. As we talk about relationships and how everyone's reacting, can we talk about how Luke Cage is very close proximity with all of his recent lovers? And also how, like...
April brought that up.
Yeah,
April,
I'm waiting for all three of them to get together.
In the same room.
That's going to be awkward.
Well, I think I actually think they're kind of the most evolved, like, couples we've seen on TV, because we saw Misty meet up with Claire a little bit earlier at the door. I feel like they knew their past, and, like, they're both really comfortable. They're like, whatever. I mean, we obviously know Misty's over Luke already. She's like, whatever. It was the one time thing. I had to get them off my back, and now I'm good. I'm having a lot more trouble because the chemistry is obviously still there between Luke and Jessica. Mm-hmm. We know they get married in the comics.
But it's I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Spoiler, guys. She spoiled it. She ruined it.
I'm so sorry. I just assume everyone's a comic book reader. Yes, they have a kid in the comics. They're a real couple together. He goes back fighting crime, and, like, they're adorable. As a viewer, I'm curious, and the chat can chime in too. Like, do you guys are you guys hoping that Luke and Claire stay together? Do you want to see Luke and Jessica? Is it mixed feelings watching, or are you just happy to see, like, whatever happens?
Yeah, guys, put it out there. I'll wait. Well, so Jay Becker says, like, they were mostly hookups, not full dating. So, like, Claire gets coffee with him, and Ghost 8386 in the last episode, too, talked about Luke finally getting his Cuban coffee.
But ching. Coffee is the greatest code word in the show now. Every time somebody says coffee, I'm like, who's doing it? What's happening? It's adorable.
Hold on, let me see here. So,
real quick.
Yeah.
Can I mention something I thought was really interesting? In a part that you guys just talked about when Jessica left the dragon.
Yeah.
In that scene, the ambient light that was all over her face was purple. Did you guys notice that?
Sure did.
Oh, I didn't know. I had to go back and watch it.
And that was, and I think that was such a smart cinematographic move on them, because it sort of highlighted how she's still unsure of herself after dealing with the purple man. And she sort of, like, wants to, like, take a step back from all this craziness and try and figure things out for herself the way that she knows. And I, like, that just, it spelled that out for me in, like, a million degrees when I saw that.
And Purple Man referring to Kilgrave, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good point, Neil. Cinematography-wise, the dragon has been by far the best cinematography I've seen in a long time. Mostly because each one of them gets their own color spotlight at some point, which is really fascinating. And yet, it doesn't feel forced. The way they have the red sign at the top, they even mentioned Daredevil says, you know, I can still hear the neon buzzing. Like, they call attention to it without ever being overly dramatic about it. And I think that that's really hard to pull off in a subtle way, and I loved it.
I'm going to diverge for a second, because, like, I just wanted to just go kind of while we're, like, talking about just kind of, like, directing and the choices. In episodes 1 and 2, I definitely know that S.J. Clarkson is a woman director that directed the two, like, at least those first two. I'm not sure about these next two, but I don't know if you ladies, like, I mean, I'm sitting across some ladies, and, like, you know, they're talking about diversity in Hollywood, and not just about skin color, but just about, like, you know, male versus female and, like, wages. I don't know how you felt about the directing for those episodes, or just, like, the fact that, like, Marvel is letting women get into this, like, action game of directing. If you guys know anything about S.J. Clarkson.
I think it's a really smart move on their part to put SJ at the top and kind of lead and open the show, especially because we're not dealing with super intense, heavy action scenes. We're having a lot of, like, conversation and really easing into these characters. And again, Netflix has that reputation for being slow at the start, so you want to put somebody who's going to be able to handle what some people would consider slow material, just as far as just a lot of dialogue, and who can make that dynamic. And I think she did a solid job of pulling that off in episodes 1 and 2.
April.
Yeah, I think she did a great job, and forming some of these relationships was really impressive. I love seeing a female director for this. I mean, people have watched Wonder Woman with Patty Jenkins, and that really proves how great that women can do in these roles, and I'm glad to see them getting more of it.
Who got a crazy, like, monstrous raise from what I've been reading, but they haven't divulged numbers. Patty Jenkins, and for Wonder Woman 2, that is.
Good for her.
There's rumors that she'll be equal to what JJ was making, which I cried a little when I heard it. I'm not gonna lie.
No, that's great. Hey, moment. You know, I mean, hey, if you bring in the dollars, then your bump should be what you bring in, for
absolutely.
Sure. You know?
I'm sure they're kicking themselves for not signing to her to a multi-movie deal off the bat.
In the chat, so Tandy Pope, referring back to your question, she said, I think Claire and Luke are a thing for this series mm-hmm. instead of the direction of the comics.
That's interesting. I really like them together. I think those two actors have really great chemistry together. But man, sometimes Jessica just smiles at Luke and I'm like, oh, I remember that too, though. And they were adorable. So just as a fan and a person who ships everybody, I'm a little torn. I don't know who I want to win. All I know is I don't want Claire hurt. Whatever happens, end result, Claire needs to be okay.
Claire's strong, though.
Claire's so strong.
She's not a woman that, like, I mean, she's seen it all. She's seen crazy hand guys. She's seen
Invincible
Bullet guy.
But she has not been dumped yet on the show. You know what I mean? Like, Claire can handle, like, she's a nurse. Like, yeah, like, blood, broken bones. Okay, like, crazy kidnap guys, that's scary, but I'm okay, and now I'm surrounded by really strong people. My mom is safe. Like, my boyfriend wants to take care of my mom, make sure she's safe. I feel like Claire's issues have been the big, like, not personal. They're not jabbing at her feelings. I feel like if Luke leaves, especially for Jessica, oh, God. It's what I want, but I'm also very concerned about it. I want the emotional drama. I love relationships and superheroes. I have no shame.
See, I look at Claire as so strong. I figure she's the one making the choices to dump. She's not ever going to be the dumpy.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but if Luke's still in love with Jessica, it might be hard. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I don't know what's going to happen.
Because their hookup was based on a lie. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, she killed his wife, right?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that was also Kilgrave controlling her mind,
yeah.
but...
To see.
April, do you care which characters get together?
Claire has such great chemistry with anyone. I'd be happy to see her with anyone, honestly. She's just the best. She was my favorite part of Iron Fist. She was able to make a relationship interesting with that piece of wood that he is.
She did bring a lot of energy when she stepped on screen. You were like, oh, thank God, Claire is...
Right,
I think we actually said that, Rick, when Claire shows up for the first time in Iron Fist, and we were like, oh, thank God, Claire's here. It's like a relief.
We all did. Yeah, absolutely.
Personality coming in. And she really pushed the story forward, too, because she was like, okay, everyone get in line. Like, get your acts together. Mm-hmm. It was nice.
We kind of end we don't end the restaurant scene, but there is that conversation between Stick and Daredevil about their suspicions of Elektra, which are true, that she's still alive, even though now she's the Black Sky and she's not mm-hmm. Elektra per se, like, at least yet. And like Daredevil or Matt Murdock doesn't want to believe that she's fully... I kind of got a little Star Wars here for a second. She's not evil. And he's like, no, she's gone.
Did get a little Star Warsy. Oh, I didn't realize he had slipped into full Anakin mode of like, I could save her. But
that's also, I mean, I'll say though too, that's not just Star Wars. That's a lot.
Oh, sure.
There's always those, you know, when someone gets resurrected, it's like, is the person completely evil or do they have some like other like good or like, do they remember who they are?
Definitely. I like seeing the side of Daredevil though. I like seeing a Matt Murdock because Matt's the kind of guy who's always kind of controlled by his morality. And he's, you know, and seeing him having made this promise that we know he's not going to be able to keep, but that he's fighting so hard, I feel like this is because we cannot center all four characters, and we kind of have to have Danny at the head since that's who the hand is after. I think it's a smart move to make Daredevil dynamic and different from Danny, to have him kind of trying to hold on to this promise that he doesn't want. Also, playing that reluctant leader role is interesting because I feel like he's always been a leader. It never occurred to me that he wouldn't. Like, in the roles we've seen him in Marvel, like, he's leading Foggy and he's, like, leading that whole team. So it's interesting to see him come into a space where, like, of course you should be the leader and have him kind of fight against that.
Daredevil be the leader?
Yeah, I just feel like he's the most experienced. He's been out on the streets the longest. He's, like, actually studied and understands the law. I just feel like he's probably the best leader for the Defenders.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
I feel like you don't, Rick. Who do you want to lead the Defenders?
Oh, I want the Punisher to lead.
Okay, that's not Punisher. No.
I'm just kidding. No, I will
see. That's a very different Defender.
No, I mean, I'm wondering if, like, I don't disagree with you. I'm wondering if we kind of feel that way or we say that because that's who we were introduced to first.
Interesting, maybe.
In like the, you know, in when Marvel started this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree if they're supposed to be a leader, if it should be Matt Murdock or not.
Let us know. Tweet that out because I'm curious because I just kind of instantly assumed that it would be Matt, but it never really occurred to me to think that was just because he was introduced first, but maybe.
No, and it's interesting that you bring that up too because I didn't even think about who was supposed to be the leader. But I mean, it's true. It's like when you have a group, there should be some person that's a leader, but I didn't even think about it. But I probably need to be thinking about it in terms of, right, it's because like someone's got to be making decisions and it can't always just be, okay, well, three of the four of us are saying, let's do this. So that's what we're going to do.
Right.
But so far it almost kind of seems that Stick has kind of taken that role for a second.
With his four Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, well, because, you know, he's Shredder and then Raphael has yet to rise. The red one, come on. You gotta keep the Ninja Turtle theme going.
Michelangelo. Danny's Michelangelo, right? Because he's popping the pot sticker, so that's the pizza.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's not really the party dude.
No. But he should be, so maybe he'll morph into that. And once I think Danny exacts his revenge and we can get somebody who isn't so hell-bent on, like, I need to get my company and fulfill my purpose, I feel like what will be left is our cool, fun surfer dude. So I'm really looking forward to ending this storyline. So, like, what does a Danny who is just the Iron Fist hanging out with his bros like do? I feel like that's a much different Danny than what we have right now.
Yeah. I mean, so then we see that Alexandra happens to be in the restaurant.
Woo, girl. When she walks in, I was like, hell no. It just felt too fast to me. I'm like, this is an encounter with all of them right now. I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, what? She just pops in out of nowhere. She's just like just sitting there, and
she's also very handsy with Danny, which was concerning to me. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you gonna slip him something? I don't know if she knows magic or ancient spells. How are you keeping yourself alive? I have a lot of questions, and I want someone to step in between her and Danny because I'm like, that's the thing she needs. Like, isn't she too close to that? It was a very unnerving scene to watch.
Well, I mean, and Stick to the same thing. It's just like, dude, I'll kill you myself. It's like, I'll kill you myself, and he's just like, I'm not gonna do that. So
Stick, we'll create another Iron Fist. I don't need you.
I mean, that's where I also thought, again, it got a little Star Wars-y.
Oh, yeah.
Come to the dark side, my son.
Think of how many lives you could save if you just put all of your trust in me, this evil person who takes out cities.
Meanwhile, Luke is just standing in the back, like, brooding with his arms crossed.
Luke is in full daddy mode of just, like, I'm going to see how my son handles this on his own. And then right at the last minute, he's like, you need to leave. He can't handle this. It's too much. Goodbye now. It's precious.
Well, okay, so what I want to know, before we see the pinnacle of, like, what had happened, I mean, you were taping me.
Yeah.
You were videotaping my reaction.
I knew that it was coming, because I watched the first four episodes on Friday, and I had to know what your guys' reaction was going to be.
So I hadn't seen it. She was videotaping me as I was watching it. April. Okay, so we saw Alexandra there. Mm-hmm. We see that she brings in the Black Sky, Elektra. What do you think was going to happen before what we actually saw happen?
I was hoping for a cool fight scene with Elektra, but that definitely came to a quick halt.
Right? Yeah, we see Jessica just bam through the restaurant.
She's back.
Which I love. It's just like, nope, straight for her.
And I told Jessica way to end a conversation. I'm just going to ram a car through this. It's totally fine.
No, but I thought that was really cool, though, in the sense of instead of like, because like, they've already done so much drawn out fighting, just to be like, yeah, you know what? Let me just, it's almost like a Raiders of the Lost Ark where Harrison Ford was sick, so he just shoots the guy.
Yes.
In this case, like, she gets run over, but it also brings Jessica back into the fold because she was just like, hey, peace, I'm out. And so it reintroduces us to say, okay, she's back on board with what's going down.
Definitely.
Okay, so we've kind of discussed that. What do you guys, because we get into predictions for a second, what do you ladies think are going to happen in the next two episodes?
Oh, man.
I know you kind of have to pretend to be a little blank.
Okay, so I knew, once we saw the fight, I was like, okay, so I think, or sorry, we'll see the car coming through. Obviously, we're going to come back with a fight. I'll be interested to see how that fight plays out, and if your predictions from earlier come true, are going to start, like, squaring off. Do we get to see who's each individual hero's villain, and how does that play out?
Well, that was Jess. That was more Jess. Jess was like, he was saying, since he's not here, I would say that's more of Jess's thing, was he was trying to figure out, is it like me, like, one-on-one, who fights this guy, who fights that guy?
I'd be interested to see if that plays out. I'm also interested to see more of these relationships develop. Specifically, I would like to see Jessica and Matt's relationship, just because I find those two characters supremely interesting and probably the most damaged out of our group. And I'm curious to see how they react to one another, like, when they're on, because they both do a lot of detective work, like, sleuthing around. I'd like to see them on a mission together, like, doing some detective work. I think that'd be fun.
Well, what did you ladies think about the reveal where Matt's trying to stay, you know, him keeps himself from, like, not keeping himself, like, keeping Matt Murdock from, like, Danny Rand and from Luke Cage and from Jessica, even though, and then she's like, dude, I know who you are.
I literally
like, I understand his reasoning, but I love how she's just like, no, that's not gonna work. Like, we know who you are.
We're all smart. Yeah. It's okay. We figure out you're leaf. She's calling, telling he's leaping around like a Russian gymnast. Again, they're just so salty at the entire world, and I'm curious as to what that saltiness looks like when you put it together, and they have to kind of deal with and manage one another. I think Jessica's good for Matt because everyone tries to coddle Matt. Everyone's very gentle with him, and that's not going to be Jessica.
That's not her. April, so what do you got predicted for the next episodes 5 and 6?
It's just crazy to think we only have 4 episodes left.
I know.
In the next 2, I really want to see more of Alexandra and her backstory, what she's about. Because I feel like we've gotten introduced to her, but I really want to dive into her character before it's all over.
For me, I want to see the coming together of the hand. Mm. I'm hoping in episodes 5 and 6, if we don't see the coming together of the hand, like them coming together and talking about their scheme and their real plan, then what I would like to see is maybe come back into the fold is, because now that we're gone for 4 episodes, to see Foggy, Hogarth, maybe Trish, and then Colleen and Claire kind of get back into the fold of like, oh, you guys have all met? It's like, who are all you? Like to see kind of like them all collectively kind of together looking at each other being like, wait, what? What's going on? I wouldn't mind seeing that in episode 5 and 6, but maybe that's for like 7 and 8.
Long-term prediction, I'm curious as to now that Claire was kind of the glue bringing everyone into one another, but now that everybody knows one another, I'll be interested to see how Claire's role evolves or if it changes at all. Now that everybody kind of knows each other, and I mean, they'll still need medical help here and there, but I like Claire. I like what she does for the group. I like that she's kind of this human voice of reason. So I hope we don't lose her.
I want an appreciation moment for her since she was tied into all of them.
Standing ovation, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, that does it for now. We've covered episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Next week, we'll be back covering episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8, starting at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And once again, April, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter and YouTube at April 13 Dawn.
Hi, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And since we will be wrapping it up next week, we will have our 4 panel here. Just like the Defenders, it'll be me, Jess, Joelle, and April. I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong. Till next week. Thank you, guys.
We would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.